3520 Broadway, and 1500 North 12th Street. The Liquor Booth, where it's always happy hour.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Daily Muddy. I'm Ashley Conrad. Joining me today, a couple of hams. Hey, guys. How are you?
All right. Well,
how are you? I have Al and Joe. I'm doing well. Thank you. So we were talking a little bit before, we hit go on the camera, and this whole thing just fascinates me. So let me go ahead and be full disclosure. When I saw Hamfest, I was thinking like spiral ham, right? Then I started looking at it, and I was like, okay, it's ham radio,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So we'll get to Hamfest in just a second, but can you tell me a little bit about ham radio or amateur radio? Are those two?
Ham radio is what amateur radio is referred to as.
Gotcha.
And that comes from way back during the Morse code when everybody was tapping. The amateur radio group, not the professional telegraphers.
Yeah.
They thought that the amateurs were ham-fisted. That's one of the things that they believe ham came from. Nobody really knows.
Okay.
But they'd say, he's a ham fist, probably an amateur.
That's funny.
But amateur radio is also where a lot of the advancements in radio and television technology, satellites, stuff like that.
Cell phones.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah, which we were just talking about.
Yeah, like Marconi invented the wireless radio or whatever, and he's got an interesting anecdote about that. They invented the radio. Well, there was no government regulation. So, everybody in their basement, guys are tinkering in their basement like, hey, I wonder if this works, and inventing stuff, antenna theory and propagation.
And a lot of them initially, your broadcast radios were amateurs.
Yeah.
They'd work out of their basement or their garage for a couple hours a day and programming for the neighborhood or whatever. But that all later in 1910, they segmented away from professional radio and amateur radio, and the first amateur licenses were issued in 1910.
So speaking
of, the government got involved for regulation because that's what they
Why did. Not? Yeah. Yeah, they're good at that.
Yeah.
So you were saying licensing. So one thing that I learned about ham radio, which I don't know that a lot of people know, because I mean I've known a lot of people with ham radios, and I didn't know you had to be licensed to.
Absolutely.
To use them.
You can listen
on them.
Okay.
No license. Yes. But to talk on them, you have to have a valid FCC license.
Okay.
Yeah, once you get a license, you basically become your own radio station.
Okay.
So.
But the license is a license to learn. In other words, you start out at the beginning level, which is a technician level, and it's a relatively simple test. It's basically enough to keep you from hurting yourself.
Yeah,
which I definitely would.
And from there, you can go whatever direction facet interests you or whatever you may like, satellite communications. They got stuff they can bounce off the moon, moon bounce signals.
Wow. Yeah, moon, Earth.
I'm kind of into the UHF, VHF stuff and the repeaters and stuff that we've got around. For our club, I maintain our two repeaters we got.
Okay.
But once you get into the HF, so VHF, UHF, obviously we know is ultra high frequency, very high frequency.
Obviously.
When you get your first level license, that's basically your ticket to learn. You got to have the basics. Here's your license, and then you just start getting into it. The next step up is general, and that gives you privileges on the HF or high frequency bands, which is a whole nother set of frequencies.
Okay.
Okay. And within those frequencies, amateur radio has gone 1,000 different directions. It's not just talking on the radio. There are people that are writing code for Raspberry Pis and Arduinos and just doing stuff.
They've got talking
to satellites.
They've got different modes too, the digital modes,
right,
where you don't even talk to the person. The computer basically does all
that.
You can just tell, all right, contact that guy.
Wild.
Yeah, before we started the podcast, you were talking about prepping and what happens when the cell phones go down.
Yeah.
Well, that's a very real possibility.
Absolutely.
We still got radios. We can get on the air.
Yeah.
And you can connect your radio to your computer, kind of like mic out and speaker in to both.
Sure.
And you can send texts over the air, over the radio, without using the internet.
Through your ham.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's pretty cool.
Talk around the world then, too, on the HF. And
that's
not a whole
insane.
Lot of power. That when you get on those HF bands or frequencies or whatever they are, that you can talk to Europe, Australia, and just all depends where the airwaves will take you.
Yesterday I spoke to Argentina.
That's so crazy.
Hey, how you doing? I'm good. How are you? I'm great. Have a good day.
So we were talking about prepping, and I think everybody knows I'm a tinfoil hatter. For the most part, I'm really just kind of teetering, and I think it's more just preparedness, right?
Well,
because you never know.
You are a prepper.
Yeah.
Because do you have a drawer in your kitchen with flashlights and candles and
yes.
matches, you're a prepper.
I have water purification tablets. Why? I have all kinds
Why
of stuff.
Why do you have that?
Well,
just in case.
Yeah. So I was asking about, you know, how you communicate when, you know, cell phone towers, you know, if they're non-existent, and ham radio is one of those ways. And then we started talking about, you know, kind of the lingo and how you even learn, you know, what to say when you're on there. And then I learned that everyone can be listening to you at all times, even if they're not interacting
with
you.
That's not a secure net.
No.
But that's okay.
But it's a secure community because you have to have
it is.
A call sign.
Right. Yeah, you have to have a call sign. You have to be licensed. You have to know what you're doing. You have to know what you're saying, right? And all of this.
Obviously, I try to get my
family
involved.
To a certain degree, in other words. And it's a learned thing, in other words. You're not going to start out there just being smooth as silk or whatever there.
Speak for yourself.
You're going to make mistakes.
I'm going to be smooth.
Everybody makes mistakes. And I try and be very gentle with people. I can tell when they're new, and I try and just coax them along when I hear somebody out there.
That's one thing about the ham community. I found it's a very supportive community.
Yeah.
I've been involved in a lot of different factions throughout, you know, my tour on the planet here, but when I got involved in amateur radio, man, they are so helpful. Now you look at Facebook and you see the comments, because there's, you know, obviously ham sites on there, and somebody will ask an innocent question, hey, I want to put this antenna up on my roof, is that a good idea? And you'll have 90% of the people, well, you know, you might want to look at this and think of that. And somebody say, what are you going to do that for? You know?
Yeah, you always have the one jackass. Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, for the most part, you know, we were talking about, it's a pretty solid community.
Yes.
You guys are looking out for one another.
Yes.
And it's awesome because it's, I'm hoping it's growing. Right, not just from preppers' standpoint, but just to get back to kind of
in general, the population, number of licenses has been steady or growing slightly or whatever over the last 10 years.
That's
some
awesome.
People think it's a dead science, hobby, service.
And the one thing I want to throw out there for everybody: you do not have to know Morse code anymore.
No.
Oh, you used to have to.
At
yes.
one time, when I first started, you could get your entry level license, no code. But if you're going to go any further than that, you had to, you know, learn Morse code.
Like 5 words per minute or something.
Well, that was the first step, and then it was 13 words a minute, and then it was 20 words a minute if you wanted a top license.
I'd see how that'd be a barrier to entry. I'd be like,
you can get the top license, no code.
Yeah.
You know, 60, 70 years ago, people knew Morse code.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
I mean, just not something we do today.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I got a cell phone. You know,
easy peasy.
Yeah, until it goes down.
Right. See, that's where I am. So it may not be, so it sounds.
Have you left the house without your phone and panicked?
Yeah, and
it's
an appendage that I can't live without. But
it happened to me today.
Yeah.
I was on where's my phone?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. But then you had your ham radio, and you guys are talking about, you know, you're talking back and forth on your way here because you have them installed in your cars.
You can't order anything from Amazon on ham radio.
Yeah.
You got to have your phone.
Yet. We'll say yet, right? Maybe we'll get there. But, okay, so, of course, we could probably sit and talk about this all day. It's so fascinating to me, and, of course, there's a lot to learn. But 'tis the reason for HamFest, right?
Right.
So tell me a little bit about what HamFest is.
Well, okay, so HamFest is a gathering of like-minded individuals and those that are not like-minded.
So those who are interested, right?
Yeah, it's like a swap meet kind of thing.
Okay.
It's like a gun show only for amateur radio.
Yeah.
So you'll have the sidewalk jewelry maker might have a booth, you know.
Yeah.
But predominantly we're looking at electronics, technology, things of this nature. And that's the thing, like I said, once you get into ham radio, maybe you just want to talk. Maybe you want to write code.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to build radios, repair radios. That's Al's radio service.
Yeah, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
He's my Elmer, which in the ham community is the mentor, is called an
helper or whatever. They're coaxing somebody along or whatever.
Okay,
Elmer.
Cool. See, I'm learning something new every
day.
Okay. So the swap meet or ham fest, it's aimed at, you know, people who want to get involved, people who are already involved, any walk of life.
You don't have to be a ham. Hams are welcome.
Okay.
You know, like I said, it's a very supportive community.
Yeah.
If you want to get a ham license, which we'll talk to you about either here or later.
Yeah, absolutely.
Up until April of last year, the FCC, let me back up. The FCC looks at amateur radio. They have an entire spectrum the FCC is in charge of.
Yeah.
Broadcast radio, broadcast TV, satellite, this, that, and the other. Anything that transmits information, it's theirs.
Yeah.
Well, they have so much on their plate dealing with all of that, and they looked at the amateur radio community, and they said, these guys police themselves, and they follow rules, and we don't need to worry about them. They kind of shoved them aside. Before this, several years ago, if you wanted a license, you had to go to the local FCC office and take your test. When did the VEs come in? 30 years ago or something?
Something like that, yeah.
So what the FCC said is, okay, we're going to authorize a couple of you amateur radio operators to become VEs or volunteer examiners.
Okay.
These guys are your test proctors. They take care of all of the testing, and they send the information into the FCC. And I've taken a lot of tests in a lot of different environments, and I'll tell you what, these guys are mean.
Yeah.
I mean, because...
You're like head down on your stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, they're, you know...
Cold sweats.
But yeah, they're hams
yeah.
that volunteer, because it's all a volunteer organization. It's all amateur. There's no pecuniary interest involved.
Yeah.
Other than, hey, you want to sell this radio? You want to buy
sure,
that radio?
Sure, sure.
But anyway, so the VEs do the test. Okay. And the FCC kind of just stays back and lets us regulate ourselves.
That's good.
Yeah. So
yeah. That's awesome. So then you mentioned vendors. So you may have, you know, you're going to have different vendors. Are you still looking
for
vendors?
Yeah. I'm still looking for vendors. Okay. We still have tables available.
Sure.
It's $10 a table or 8-foot tables. You get $10 for each for the first two and every table after that, because he's getting three. And a couple other guys are getting three. It's $5 a piece.
Yeah. Head.
I tried to contact major commercial vendors.
Yeah.
You know, the big guys. The guys where we go to buy our $1,000 radios
sure.
or whatever. And, you know, they're all too busy. But within the community, I mean, I bought coax off of him, antenna I got out of his shop. A couple other guys I bought a radio off of. And they're used radios, but they're taken care of well.
Sure.
And they work. And I just purchased, like I said, a $1,000 radio from one of the big companies.
Yeah.
Because I had the money.
Yeah.
And I wanted it. You can get into this for less than $100.
So now, will you have vendors who are selling equipment there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Some people are selling electronics. Some people are selling.
I will have ham-related accessories.
Okay.
Yeah. Antennas, power supplies, connectors, coax, that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
As far as an actual radio, no, I will not have.
Okay.
But we're giving radios away at the
I was going to say, oh, so you have giveaways. Yeah. So let's kind of start at the top here. When is it?
May 4th. Kay. May the 4th be with you.
May 4th be with you on yes. your ham radio. And it's from 8 a.m. until noon.
Yeah, it's at short. The, it's
yeah.
4 hours.
Yeah.
Or longer if people hang around.
There you go.
We don't have to be out of there at noon.
Right.
But
good to know.
Yeah, we got the hall all day.
So you can hang out and yep. talk
and
ham.
And a lot will happen after the show. Just
and ham
just,
around, we'll say.
Ah. There you
ah,
go.
See, I'm full of them. So, and it's at the American Legion in Palmyra,
right.
which is 600 Short Street.
Right.
And it's the Hannibal Amateur Radio Club. And Quincy Amateur Radio Club, right, coming
right.
together. So Western Illinois and Missouri coming together.
Every time you get licensed, you get a call sign. He's N9MAF.
Okay.
I'm W6JFL.
Oh,
the
okay.
9 and the 6 are specific to the geographic location where you
ah.
got licensed.
All right.
Clubs, which is any four guys that or girls.
Yeah.
Or androids. Yeah. any four entities that mm-hmm. want to get together and make a club, that's all they got to do is just apply for their call sign. So... Our call sign is W0KEM,
okay.
zero being Missouri and parts of the western Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
And Quincy is W9AWE, nine okay. being Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, I believe.
Indiana.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the nine. But basically, you get a club call sign, and that call sign, I'm individually licensed, now the club has a call sign as well.
Gotcha.
So
you guys are all coming together to create this amateur radio
right.
swap meet where you can buy, sell, trade, browse, chat. I think it's really cool. And entry fee is only $8. And it's free for students if you have an ID.
Yep.
And it's only $5 for veterans.
Yep.
Right?
Support
yeah.
veterans.
And,
I'm a veteran.
I love that. Well, thank you for your service.
Thank you for your support.
Well, of course. So Saturday, May 4th, if you even if you do have something going on, I recommend hitting up the American Legion in Palmyra. Meet these fine fellows here. Learn a little bit more about radios or go and expand on your current love for the ham community, right? And,
right. Well,
and there you go.
You remember the old G.I. Joe radios when you were a kid?
Yeah.
And you could hear the voice more than you could hear the radio?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so those walkie-talkies, you can get them at Target, big box stores, mm-hmm. Walmart, whatever. The little blister pack radios that say range up to 24 miles.
Yeah.
Those services are GMRS and FRS, the Family Radio Service and the General Mobile Radio Service. General Mobile Radio Service, you get one license, covers the whole family. FRS doesn't even require a license because they used to, and then the FCC said, hey, ain't nobody paying this.
Yeah.
Well, it's a very minimum low power, low range
yeah.
operation.
Gotcha.
But like
gotcha.
around the farm, the property, whatever, you mm-hmm. know, hey, I need you to bring this over to the South 40. That's fine for very limited range. Like CB is basically a 5 mile range.
Yeah.
Same with the FRS. GMRS can have a repeater. What a repeater does is it takes the signal and amplifies the signal and retransmits it on a different frequency. The reason for that is curvature of the earth. I'm 6 foot tall. If I'm standing over here, the guy over here is 6 foot tall, ain't gonna get it because there's a planet in the way.
Yeah, right.
Repeaters put a repeater on a tower. Now all I gotta do is hit that tower and I can
get it. It sends it there.
Like I can get all the way down to Vandalia, I can get to Quincy, and I live in New London.
Yeah.
You know, so there's range. That's VHF and UHF.
Yeah.
We talk about HF, like I said, I was talking to a guy in Argentina.
Yeah, that's
insane. It's different propagation through the atmosphere. There's a science involved that if you take a class
yeah.
or read the book, you learn.
So if somebody were interested in learning more about the resources that you're talking about or about the event, where would they go?
You can talk to anybody at the Ham Fest.
Okay, so
well,
go to the Ham Fest.
You can also get online. You can go to the ARRL, a real good source.
Okay.
They've got beginning classes and all that stuff. Our club just finished up a class here recently for beginners and got, I think, had a 100% success rate, I believe.
Yeah, and same with the one before that. No, I'm going to give that one.
Okay.
I'm going to take off because one of the students had to drop out early for
yeah.
personal reasons.
But, sure.
But yeah, we give class gives classes twice a year. It's like 3 Saturdays.
And Hannibal or the Quincy Club, they do volunteer, you know, classes and all that too.
Sure.
So
yeah, you can learn yourself, or you can go to a structured environment, or you can buy the book.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about the license manuals that you buy is they have the entire test bank in the back of it. And they guide you through. They'll read, you know.
Gotcha.
Read a paragraph, take this question.
Sure.
And so you're getting familiarized with what the test is going to be. Because test.
I personally, in other words, all three, well, I've upgraded 3 times.
Yeah.
I got my license upgraded twice.
Gotcha.
But I've done it all on my own. I just got the book and just
gone
through the book.
Very cool. Very cool. So, yeah, you can learn more about that by going to the website. But I recommend checking out HamFest. Chatting with these fine fellas and learning a little bit more, or expanding your equipment, or just hamming it up at the Ham Fest, right?
There you go.
Yes. Well, Roger that. I think on that note, thank you guys so much. It's
thank
been
you.
Fascinating. Can't wait to learn more after this. So stay tuned. Bob sits down with Miss Quincy to talk about Gardner Camp.
Instant Replay is your local sports bar. With 18 big screen TVs, we have all the sports packages from college games to pro games. We offer daily drink specials, and come check out the bullpen, our newly renovated beer garden. Instant Replay, 2739 Chestnut in Quincy.
The Tower, a great place to meet and eat. But did you know the Tower has one of the finest drink selections in our area? Along with its incredible Mexican menu, the Tower specializes in tequilas for every taste. Names like Patron, Cabo Wabo, and Hornitos. And don't forget the margaritas. On Mondays and Tuesdays, stop by and pick up a single topping pizza and get Tower margaritas to go. Enjoy the Tower at home or in our dining room, bar area, or the Tower's signature climate-controlled porch. The Tower Pizza and Mexican in Quincy.
Welcome to the Abbey, a Quincy tradition.
With 6 big screens, a new larger kitchen, and now more seating capacity, the Abbey is the place to be before, during, and after the big game. Come enjoy fan favorite appetizers, steaks, burgers, and a variety of daily food and drink specials. Can't join us? Carryout is available too. Now with a convenient drive-up window to better serve you. 1736 Spring in Quincy. Opens at 3 p.m. Tuesday through Sunday.
Come join all your friends at the Abbey, a Quincy tradition.
Kelly's has been a fun place to eat and drink in Quincy since 1982. A fun and friendly atmosphere, food with flavor, homemade cinnamon rolls, and famous cheese soup, the best menu in town. Kelly's, 2902 Broadway, Quincy.
Are you looking for the perfect venue for your next special event? Check out Utopia Event Center.
Utopia has a large banquet room and an awesome bar area, perfect for anything from birthday parties to formal corporate meetings. It also offers a photo booth, stage for a DJ or a live band, and a fully stocked bar, all for only $300. Check us out at utopiaeventcenter.com or call Barn at 217-430-6559 for more information. Utopia Event Center, 900 North 12th Street in Quincy.
And thanks, Ashley. I have a very special guest here today. We're going to be talking to Nicole Taylor, Miss Quincy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, we are here not in your Miss Quincy capacity officially. No crown. That's okay. But we are going to talk about another job that you have, and you are currently the assistant director down at Gardner Camp.
Yes, I just started last week, and it has been a dream so far.
Well, I mean, yeah, because you are very outdoorsy. That's kind of your whole platform, right?
Yes, I love the outdoors. I love kids. I love conservation, all of it. So it's all just combined in a big ball, and it's just a dream job for me.
And Gardner Camp, I've always called it one of our best kept secrets, because I'm hoping in your role as assistant director, you'll help them get the publicity out a little bit more about all the great things they do.
Yes, so I actually went to school for marketing, so that's one of my strong suits. So that'll be one of my many roles at Gardner Camp, is to market the camp.
But because of your background with the outdoors, you're gonna have a lot of fun with this job, aren't you?
I will. I really love kids. I already have a lot of connections just with Miss Quincy partnerships, like Illinois Department of Natural Resources, NWTF, Ducks Unlimited. They all play a very huge factor in helping Gardner Camp be the best camp possible.
And also with that, we need to also remind people where Gardner Camp is, because it's not out of the way, but it's a little bit of a drive, but it's a beautiful drive.
Yeah, I always say it's a little slice of heaven. It's probably about 20-30 minutes outside of Quincy. It's in the whole bottom, so just out in the boonies.
Pike County, though.
Yes.
And when you say boonies, you're not insulting anybody. You're from the boonies,
no,
right?
I love the boonies.
I'm from the boonies.
Yeah.
We're all from, I mean, I'm from Perry, Missouri, population 800. So.
Yeah, I graduated with like 30 kids in Brown County.
Yeah.
So
30 kids. Yeah. Wow, even my graduating class was bigger than that.
Yeah.
So you're wrapping up college, too?
Yes, it's my last semester at John Wood Community College, and I'm getting a marketing degree there. So doing a lot of things right now, but they've all been so great.
And, you know, like you said, along with taking on this new job at Gardner Camp, you are in the process of representing Quincy as Miss Quincy in the Miss Illinois pageant. That's coming up, right?
Yes, it is June 10th through the 15th, so it's coming up very shortly, doing a lot of prep work, but hopefully I can represent Illinois and not only Quincy.
And you were doing some mock interviews yesterday, you were telling us?
I was doing a mock interview at the Quincy Public Library, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw fishing poles. And I'm like, what in the world? Why is there fishing poles at the library? But you can check out fishing poles at the Quincy Library. So
that's great.
It's awesome.
How many fishing poles do you own?
Too many. Too many.
How many guns do you own?
Not a whole lot.
Well, sure. You get your FOID card, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see? Okay, I'm not the government trying to take your guns away. I was just curious.
A lot of bows.
Oh, that's right. You are a big bow hunter. Yeah.
That's kind of my niche.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're more bow than gun hunter, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And of course, again, that being your platform, how do you translate that into your platform, and how do you plan to, you know, kind of tell your story about why that would make you a good Miss Illinois?
I always say I'm trying to be the role model that I never had. So there's always been a lack of representation for females in the outdoors. And growing up, I didn't have a role model who was also a female who liked hunting or fishing. So I'm creating that role model for the next generation. And I think that's something Illinois really needs, along with representation of conservation, hunting laws, gun laws. All of the things are just so important to me. And I think I'd be really good at that.
Again, growing up in Brown County in this area, you know, we're very blessed because we are a magnificent place for hunting, fishing, the outdoors. So, you know, I think if, you know, for you to represent, and not only West Central Illinois, but downstate Illinois in general, for you to represent the state of Illinois in this capacity, I think it would, send a great message that, hey, we're more than just Chicago
here. We are. And I always say Illinois is such a diverse state because, you know, we have the city like Chicago and Springfield, and, you know, in Quincy, we have the city viewpoints, but we also have one of the best whitetail deer huntings in the state. We are on a Mississippi flyaway, so it's phenomenal waterfowl hunting. We have a really good turkey population. Our conservation is amazing, and we have so many state park opportunities for public land for everyone to enjoy.
And we're doing more with the Quincy Bay Project coming up.
Is so exciting. I'm really looking forward to that.
Well, we hope that you can't enjoy it too much yet, because we need you to go win Miss Illinois.
Yeah.
And represent us. And then after you win, then whatever time you can still give to Gardner Camp, we will all appreciate it.
Yeah.
So let us know what's going on down there. I'm going to go down there and see you here in a week or so. I want to kind of see what everything you've got going on down there. I think that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a really, really great camp. It's an awesome experience for kids. Specifically, we always try to target kids that maybe don't have the opportunities. I was really blessed growing up to have a family farm I could hunt on. I had mentors like my grandfather and my brothers and my dad who I could look up to and get the resources that I needed for the outdoors. But a lot of kids don't have that. They don't have the mentors, they don't have the land, and they don't have the resources. So that's when Gardner Camp comes in, where it's completely free for kids to attend. We have guided hunts, anything and everything for the outdoors. It's not just hunting. Our main focus is hunting, but we have something for every kid to truly enjoy the outdoors experience.
Well, you keep us posted with that. And of course, I'm sure we'll be chatting with you and your director regarding Miss Illinois coming up too.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to it.
Thanks a lot, Nicole.
Thank you.
All right, Ashley, back to you.
Hey, thanks a lot, Bob. Join us tomorrow for Club Muddy.
Muddy River News, our home, our news.